අසම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සාදු 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 Today is 18. Is it right? 18. Today, 18th December, 1991. Our Dhamma talk will be about why should we practice Vipassana meditation or insight meditation. Before I go to this topic, I think we need to rightly understand the difference between Samatha meditation and Vipassana meditation very briefly. In Buddhism, there two types of meditation. The first one is Samatha meditation. The second is Vipassana meditation. Samatha meditation is known as calm meditation, concentration meditation, serenity meditation, and tranquility meditation. Vipassana meditation is known as insight meditation. The purpose of Samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of concentration. And furthermore, psychic power, so a supernormal power based on the deep concentration of the mind. That's what the Samatha meditator aimed at to achieve. Vipassana meditation, the purpose of Vipassana meditation is to attain the cessation of suffering, the cessation of all kinds of suffering, deliverance, nibbana, through elimination of mental defilements, which are the causes of suffering. by realizing bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature by means of mindfulness meditation or vipassana meditation. Then I'll repeat it. The purpose of vipassana meditation is not only to attain some degree of a concentration, but also to realize bodily and mental phenomena as they really are, and destroy all mental and physical defilements, which enable a meditator to put an end to the suffering, all kinds of suffering, attain Nibbana. The purpose of Vipassana as Samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of a concentration only, not to realize not to realize any bodily and mental phenomena. So Samatha meditator is not able to destroy mental defilements because he does not realize any mental or physical phenomena in their true nature. So he cannot attain to the cessation of the suffering, Nibbana. Samatha means the mental state which calms the mind. This is a literary translation of the word Samatha. Mental states which calms the mind. It refers to deep concentration. When the mind is deeply concentrated on object of meditation, then it becomes a calm, serene, tranquil. So the mental state which calm the mind is nothing but concentration of mind. When the mind is concentrated well on the object of meditation, then it becomes a calm. So here what we find is Samatha, Samadhi. Samadhi is also the concentration of a mind. Samatha and Samadhi are in the same sense. That's why sometimes we say Samatha meditation as Samadhi meditation. Samadhi meditation is translated into concentration meditation. So here we find the difference between the purpose of a Vipassana meditation and a Samatha meditation. The purpose of a Samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of a concentration. That of a Vipassana meditation is to attain the cessation of a suffering through realization of a bodily and mental phenomenon in their true nature. So Samatha meditator must strive to concentrate his mind on a single object of meditation. So he takes only a single subject as the object of meditation. He focuses his mind on that object only. When the mind goes out, he must bring the mind to the primary object and focus on it. Whenever the mind goes out, he mustn't let it go. He must bring it back to the primary object and observe it, because he wants to deeply concentrate his mind on the object of meditation. So he has to bring it back to the object. Because the purpose of Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, is to attain the cessation of suffering through realization of a bodily and mental phenomena based on some degree of concentration. Every mental states, emotional states, and physical activities must be the object of Vipassana meditation, because each and every mental states, emotional states, and physical activities must be thoroughly realized as it really is. So the object of Vipassana meditation is not a single one, but a various mental process, mental states or physical states or emotional states or physical processes. So Vipassana meditation has many different mental process and physical process, the object of meditation. He doesn't take only a single object. So when we teach our meditators to contemplate on the rise and fall of the abdomen, as Vipassana meditation, they must not hold that the abdominal movement is the only object of Vipassana meditation. They must not take it, because there are many other mental states, emotional states, physical processes to be thoroughly realized as they really are. So, all of these mental and physical phenomena are the object of meditation. So, the meditator must not cling to the abdominal movement as a single object of meditation. It is one of many different objects of Vipassana meditation. Then what are the other objects of meditation? Then thinking mind, wandering mind, seeing mental images, and the itching sensation, painful sensation, stiffening, numbness, bending of the arms, stretching of the arms, then hearing the sound, smelling some scent, and tasting, touching. There are many, many other objects of meditation. Out of these different objects of meditation, the Vipassana meditator must take the most predominant mental states or emotional states or physical process as the object of meditation and observe it as it really occurs. So here we know the difference between the object of Samatha meditation and that of Vipassana meditation. The object of Samatha meditation is only a single one. That of Vipassana meditation is many different mental and physical processes. Because Samatha meditator wants to concentrate his mind very deeply on a single object of meditation, he has to bring the mind back to the primary object whenever the mind goes out or wanders about or thinks about something else. He must not let the mind go. He must not follow it. He must bring the mind to the primary object. But Vipassana meditator, unlike Samatha meditator, does not bring the mind back to the primary object whenever the mind goes out. He must not control his mind, not to go around, not to wander, not to think about. He must let the mind go, but follow it very closely and observe it as it is until it is stopped. If Vipassana meditator brings the mind back to the primary object when the mind goes out, it's not correct. He practices Vipassana meditation in the way by which he practices Samatha meditation. Bringing out the mind to the primary object is the way of Samatha meditation, not that of Vipassana meditation. Letting the mind go and observing it very attentively is the way of Vipassana meditation. Then, why should we observe the mind which is wandering or going, thinking about, reflecting, recollecting, seeing the images? What is the purpose of following the mind and observing it as it is? You know that is a question. The question. What is the purpose of observing thoughts, ideas, opinions, mental images, and the Vipassana meditation? Make better? Yes, the true nature of what? Yes. The purpose is to rightly understand the true nature of mental states, emotional states, or mental processes as they really are. This is the purpose of Vipassana meditation. Then, why should we rightly understand the true nature of mental processes? This is a question. To attain Nirvana. Yes. We should rightly understand the true nature of a mental process or physical process. To destroy all kinds of mental defilements and attain the cessation of suffering, or live to live in peace and happiness. because we do not rightly understand this intrinsic nature of mental and physical phenomena, we take them to be a person, a being, an I or a you. Then the belief in personality, individuality arises, because we do not rightly understand this mental process or physical process in their true nature. See, when our mind goes out and thinks about something else, what should we do? Observe it as it really is. Make a mental note, wondering, or thinking. When our concentration is not yet good enough, then we have the idea that I am thinking about my family. I am thinking about my work. I am planning to do something after retreat. Is it right? Yeah. Who is it planning? I am planning. Man, there's a personality who plans the future. Then, when we observe it very attentively, thinking, very attentively, thinking, the mind must be aware of the thought process which is going on at the moment. Making mental note as thinking. Sometimes without labeling, just be aware of the thought process which is going on. Sometimes with the labeling, when the mind becomes weak, we should make it strong by labeling. The thinking. When the concentration is deep enough, we come to realize the thought process which is observed and also the mind that notes it. There's a dual process of mentality. One is the process of thinking. The other is the process of noting. But they arise alternately. The mind or the consciousness in the sense of a Buddhist philosophy. In terms of Buddhist philosophy, doesn't last even a millionth of a second. It rises in the very instantly passes away. Then another mind, another consciousness rises, and the very instantly it also passes away. The passing away of the previous consciousness is the cause of arising of the following one. I'll repeat it. The passing away of the previous consciousness is the cause of arising of the following one. There's also the doctrine of relativity, or relative causes, a relative causal relation in the Buddha Abhidhamma. It's called the Patthana in Pali. And that, the Buddha said, because the previous consciousness has passed away, then the following one arises. So, the passing away, disappearance of the previous consciousness causes the following one to arise. Disappearance of a previous consciousness is the cause. The arising of the following one is effect. In this way, the consciousness, the process of a consciousness are constantly arising and passing away one after another. But we do not realize it as it is, because we do not observe it. Then we take the whole process of our consciousness as a single mind, which is lasting for some time. Actually, no consciousness last even a millionth of a second. When your citta nupassana, contemplation of our consciousness, becomes mature, you may be able to realize it through your personal experience. When you note intending, lifting, moving, dropping, touching, pressing. Because your mindfulness becomes sharp, your concentration becomes deep. So you can very easily find the intention and note. Actually, the intention gets ready to be noted. So you note it, intending, then lifting. Intention, then pushing, intending, dropping, touching, intending, pressing. Then, because your meditative experience is an advanced stage, you very slowly walk. your mind, your noted mind, penetrates into a series of broken movements of lifting, a series of tiny broken movements of lifting. Then you come to realize a series of consciousness of intention running towards the foot. Then you come to realize the consciousness for intention of mental states drops one after another. This way, another one arises in this way. In this way, the process of the stream of consciousness arising in person, we one after another. Do you want to realize in this way? Yes. Then you should have enough time and enough effort. You should have enough effort. Even though you have time, say about 6 months or 8 months for meditation, for intensive meditation, if you do not put enough effort in the practice, you are hopeless. So, enough effort is the basic requirement for your progress in meditation. And then, I should say, by the way, patience. You have to be patient with everything and everyone while you are practicing meditation intensively and continuously. You should not easily get anger. You should not be easily get depressed. You should not easily get distressed, agitated. All of these things can be overcome by patience. So patience is also one of the basic requirements for a meditator to make progress in meditation. And patience and strenuous effort. Where the omniscient Buddha gave discourses on meditation, he used the word badhana, P-A-D-H-A-N-A, badhana, instead of a virya. Virya means effort. Badhana means strenuous effort. Persistent effort, persevering effort, the badhana. So the original Buddha used this word badhana when he gave discourse on meditation. Then, when you have this badhana, strenuous effort, persistent effort in your practice, you are able to realize these consciousnesses. You can see it arising in person very swiftly. So, when you are not able to see it as rising and passing away of a mentality, you take it to be a person, a being, say, I intend to lift my foot. I intend to lift, push forward. I intend to drop it down. There, I, the person who intends to lift, push, drop, and press. There's a belief in personality and individuality. This is called Sakkaya Ditti. The false view of a personality, individuality. So, when you have that idea, I intend to lift the foot, I intend to lift, push forward, and so on. Then when you cannot find the intention to note, then you are disappointed because you do not find your intention. If you realize this intention as the consciousness which arises and passes away incessantly and continuously, you don't take it to be a person, a being, and I know, a you. And also, if you realize that no mind that perceives the intention as well as the lifting, intention, moving, and so on. If you see this note as the consciousness about rising and passing away one after another, you do not identify the note mind too with yourself, with your person, and you do not identify the consciousness by intention with yourself or with your person. Then here, you remove the idea of a personality, individuality regarding this note mind and the intention. So, you won't be disappointed when you are not able to note intention, when you do not find the intention, when you do not note the lifting movement, because you are realizing noting mind and intention as just a natural process of a mental physical mental phenomena which are arising and passing away moment to moment. So you don't take it to be a person, a being. These mental defilements, such as lust, greed, hatred, desire, craving, are the craving arises only when there's the idea of a I or you, a person, a being. They arise based on or dependent on the idea of a personality, individuality, or self, or soul. So when you see any mental process or physical process, or just a natural process of a mentality and physicality, you don't identify this process with yourself, your person, your being. Then you have removed the false idea of a personality, individuality, regarding this process of mental and physical phenomena. Then there won't arise any defilement at all, because it's a seat or cause. The idea of a personality, individuality has been removed. So, when you observe the thinking mind as thinking, 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 with a deep concentration. You come to realize the thought process, which is arising and passing away, one after another. First of all, you distinguish between the subject and the object. Between the thinking mind, the process of a thinking mind, as the object, the process of a noting mind as the subject. You can differentiate between the two processes of thinking and noting. At that moment, you are almost not aware of yourself in that state of a mental experience, the meditational experience. Because you see the two processes of mentality. One is a process of a thought, one is a process of a noting mind. They arises alternately one after another, but their arising and passing away is so swift that we can't differentiate the two processes. There are the two processes arising and passing away one after another. Then we think thought process and noting mind process arising at the same moment, simultaneously, we think so. Because we can't realize the instantly passing, rising and passing away of our consciousness through our personal experience. So, when we realize with the deep concentration, when we realize constant arising and passing away of a thought process and the noting process, we have removed the idea of I who thinking about my family, the idea of I who noting the thought. But what we are realizing is a dual process of the noting mind and the thinking process. Then there's a no person, no being. Then what is that? The process of a mentality which are constantly arising and passing away. That is why we should rightly understand this thinking mind, wandering mind, imagination, seeing mental images. But it's somewhat difficult to rightly understand or realize in this way I explain you when your concentration is not good enough. So, deep concentration is indispensable to realize these mental states, emotional states, and their true nature. Then, I think you can grasp the essence of what I want to explain you. What is the purpose, or why should we rightly understand this thinking mind, wandering mind, and their true nature? Why should we rightly understand it? To realize them, not to take this as a self or soul, person or being. To remove the idea of a self-person being, we have to realize or rightly understand this thinking mind, wandering mind, as just a natural process of mentality which arises and passing away one after another. If you rightly understand the essence of this technique of Vipassana meditation regarding these mental states, emotional states, I think you do not fail to note when the thought arises. Because you do not rightly understand why we should observe these mental states, emotional states, then you do not lay emphasis on awareness of these mental states. So you fail to note when they arise. Yes, mind talk goes free. What I want to explain to you is the difference between Samatha meditation and Vipassana meditation. Now it goes into Vipassana meditation. Here we realize that Samatha meditator must bring his mind to the primary object when the mind goes out. Vipassana meditator must not bring the mind to the primary object when it goes out. What should he do? He should follow the mind and watch it as it really is, attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. Your noting should somewhat quick, attentive, energetic. Because when the noting mind becomes weak, the thinking process becomes more and more powerful, stronger and stronger. Then thinking mind overwhelms the noting mind. Then the noting mind stops the thinking mind as going on. Then you can't concentrate your mind on the object of meditation. Right? Yes. So, noting mind should be stronger than thinking mind. Then another difference of a Vipassana Samatha and Vipassana meditation. The benefit of a Vipassana Samatha meditation is to enjoy peace and happiness of a mind. When the mind is deeply concentrated on the object of meditation. When the mind becomes absorbed into the object of meditation, it's free from all kinds of hindrances, mental impurities. Then you feel calm, serene, tranquil. Then you enjoy peace and happiness. So long as the mind is absorbed into the object of meditation. That's the main benefits of Samatha meditation. It's called Ditta Dhamma Sukha Vihara in Pali. Very long phrase. Ditta Dhamma Sukha Vihara. Ditta Dhamma means in this existence, in this life. Sukha means peace and happiness. Vihara means abiding. It means abiding by enjoying peace and happiness in this existence. That is the benefit of Samatha meditation. But there are also the other benefits. When a Samatha meditator is successful in attaining deep concentration, it is called a jhana concentration. Sometimes the apna concentration. Deep concentration, if he wants to practice vipassana meditation, he can switch his mind from the samatha, the object of a samatha, and to vipassana, any mental or physical process which is predominant at the moment. Then, because he has attained a deep concentration as a purification of a mind, citta visuddhi, his insight knowledge becomes clear and penetrating sharp because of the deep concentration. So he can easily realize bodily and mental phenomena in their true nature. That's the vipassana. In this way, samatha meditation can be can help vipassana meditation to go on very fruitfully. Such vipassana meditation is known as samatha paupangama vipassana, Pali. The meaning, vipassana meditation, insight meditation, presided by samatha meditation. He practices samatha, first of all, when he has attained deep concentration, he switch on his mind to vipassana. In this way, samatha, we can enjoy the benefit of samatha meditation as the basic requirement of vipassana meditation. Then, what is the benefit of vipassana meditation? The benefit of vipassana meditation is, first of all, happiness and peacefulness. Then realization of a bodily and mental phenomena. Then destruction of a mental defilement. And then attainment of nibbana, the cessation of suffering. These are the benefits of vipassana meditation. First of all, vipassana meditator has to accumulate his mindfulness so that it becomes continuous for the whole day. Then, his mind, noting mind, will concentrate on the on any mental process or physical process which is observed. Because of a powerful mindfulness, constant mindfulness, sharp mindfulness, the mind becomes well concentrated on the movement, on the physical or mental process which is observed. At that time, vipassana meditator, like samatha meditator, can enjoy peace, happiness, tranquility, serenity, because his mind is concentrated to a large extent on the object of meditation. The mind is free from all mental defilements such as agitation, restlessness, distress, and so on. That is the first benefit of vipassana meditation. That's the result of a concentration. But you must not be content with this happiness, tranquility, and peace. Because when your concentration becomes broken for some reason, then you cannot enjoy this peace and happiness. The mind becomes defiled by lust, greed, hatred, ignorance, restlessness, sloth and trouble, and so on. Then you can't enjoy peace and happiness. Because the concentration, a meditator has attained, and his meditative practice is fragile. It's subject to dispersing bricks very easily. So, you made a heart of a story of a young bhikkhu in the time of the Buddha. He practices samatha meditation. He didn't like to practice upasana meditation. So he strived for his attainment of a jhana, deep concentration, that he has attained. Based on this deep concentration, he strives to attain attainment of a psychic power, supernormal power, such as the ability to fly in the sky, to walk on the water, to get into the earth, to go through the mountains. He caught by means of samatha meditation. One day, his teacher, the senior monk, who was a arahant with the attainment of this psychic power, advised this young monk not to play with his supernormal powers, because he is very much willing to play with it. One day, the venerable senior monk told this young bhikkhu to come along with him for Armstrong. The young bhikkhu, young monk, said, "Venerable sir, I have something to do here in the monastery. Your reverence, go ahead, I'll follow you." Then the senior monk went on foot to a distant village. After some time, the young monk follows his teacher, not on foot, but flying in the sky by means of his psychic power, supernormal power. And the head of the village, there's a very good pond which has the transparent water and beautiful lotus flowers and so on. The girls from the village comes to the pond and carried water. And then the young bhikkhu, flying over the pond, they heard the very sweet sound from outside. Then he looked down. Then he is attached to song as well as to what? Then that attachment destroys his concentration. Then he falls down. Not on the water, but on the bank of the pond. It is said, in this way, concentration is not everlasting. It's very fragile. So you must not be content with the concentration, peace and happiness. You must go proceed with your practice until you have attained Nibbana. May all of you rightly understand the differences between samatha and vipassana, lay emphasis on vipassana, and practice to attain nibbana. I have to cut off my talk because the time is up.